Bear Podcast, episode 469.
It involves showing of more fur.
There's nothing like making a pig bottom squeal than using bacon lube.
Village, they're full of cage.
Hey, all you bears.
Okay, I just saw this on Facebook today. I think he's closeted.
You think he's closeted?
And I got my ass chewed out by everyone.
It's Thanksgiving. The gay, the geek, and the bizarre.
Laying on the couch eating bonbons and chocolate.
Just that. I saw it on Facebook.
Do some sexting with
you're me. Listening to BearPodcast.com.
He called and then he was freaked out.
You're really bitter here.
Yeah, I am very bitter.
Bitter.
It has been a shitty week. Bitter party of one right here. It's been a shitty week, let me tell you.
Welcome everyone to Bear Podcast. I am Nard.
And I am Ray.
Yes, and we survived Bear Watch.
Yes. Barely. Yeah, we're going to talk about that more later. So, welcome to episode 469.
You said 69.
Yes. What are you, a 12-year-old? Are you a 12-year-old? Okay. Yeah, it's 469. We have a great show for you guys. It's actually a very jam-packed show with an interview and everything. But before we go on, we would like to acknowledge the what happened in Oklahoma. So our hearts go to the victims of the Oklahoma tornado just a couple of days ago. It was very tragic, and I've been seeing the videos on CNN and on local news and everything. They've been covering it all over TV. Yeah.
And they're still digging. I hadn't had a chance to watch it. They're still digging people out, aren't they?
Yeah, they still are. And they're using heat sensors and everything, heat detectors, and so they could find more survivors. And so far, they've been finding some, which is good to hear. But then it's really tragic that some kids had to kids died, stuff like that. So it's really really sad. So it's really tragic. So our hearts go out to the victims. Okay, so now let's this is pretty much a recap of what happened last weekend. And actually, we did a video there, which will be a separate feed that they plan to post sometime soon, maybe. Mm-hmm. So
you're probably 6 months after Bear Watch that we will post it.
Probably a couple of days. It's Bear Watch. It's a Bear Watch weekend. We survived. I arrived there Friday afternoon after work, and we hung out at the bars. And we went to Pink Dolphin.
Yep.
And what else? Stars?
Stars, Beach Club.
Yeah. So what happened first at the Pink Dolphin?
We had a bear bust with the buy-in on the beer and had a bunch of people there and had a really good time. It looks like everybody's having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem with Galveston at 5 o'clock, it's real busy with traffic. It takes forever to get to the bar down there.
Yeah, that's right.
Because the hotel's at one end of the island and the bars are at the other end of the island. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was fun to just hang out there. It's really a relaxing bar.
Yeah.
We've never been there before, right? That's the first time we've been there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we were there, just took some pictures. So most of the pictures here that you see right now, if you're watching this as a video, were at the bars. And what's also exciting was the stars, which used to be Third Coast. What are the iterations of this
There's been a bunch of different bars, but now it's Stars.
Stars now.
Beach Club. So it's nice. They've done a bunch of work on the inside and updated the electronics and sound and light system. So it's very nice.
Yeah.
But you know what? It was a good time. I still haven't got the numbers on how much money was raised.
Oh, really?
Or anything from that. So I'm just waiting on to hear about that. And we still got to finish all the books for Bear Watch so we can figure out how much we get to donate to charity from that. So.
And what's fun over there was the underwear. It's not underwear contest, but it's underwear auction, right?
Auction, yeah. So, it's more of a leather jock auction.
It's a leather jock auction.
Is what it was. So
how did it go? So people just bet?
People sign up to be models to wear the underwear. And they showed up, and we gave them the underwear, and they got to walk around and prance around. It was a jock strap.
Prance around with their leather jock strap.
And then whoever bid on it and won the bidding got to go behind this screen, the shadow is like a shadow box, and you could see them remove the underwear.
Yes, it's very, you could see the silhouette
of what was going on.
You could see what's going on, what kind of nasty things they're doing. Probably post a little bit of snippet on that one. It's still PG because it's all silhouette, right?
Okay. That's right. All right. It's all silhouette. So, okay. But it's pretty nice looking on some of it.
It was a great idea. We should do that all the time. So. Yeah. And then we went to the beach. The beach was really great. We were able to record a short clip there. It was really fun. And good food also. Okay, I have to say those dildo dogs are larger than usual, but I thought they were really a lot bigger than that. So, but they were good. They're big.
Well, you noticed they were white meat, right?
They're white meat?
They're white meat. That's why they're not that big.
Oh, okay. No, they're not white meat. They're beef franks.
It's all late, not even Garth.
Ray is just nasty. Okay, so there are two kinds of service there. There are two kinds. Either you get a hot dog, or which were called dildo dogs, or you get hamburgers, right? But then I got the dildo dogs. The dogs are pretty good. Yeah. But then later on,
did you try the potato salad and the beans?
Did I really? I had some. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. That was very pretty good.
I went back for seconds on that.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
I didn't get a burger though. It's pretty good. The food was really prepared well.
I'd say over the weekend, all the food was prepared very well. Breakfast was awesome. Mm-hmm. Dinner, what'd you think? Did you eat dinner?
Yes. Oh my God. The meatloaf, that dinner Saturday night.
And everybody's like, when we first time about serving meatloaf, they're like, oh, and then everybody's like, oh my God, that was incredible.
That's incredible. And they're big. I mean, this, I don't know how to describe it. I could show it in the video how big it is. But if you're listening to this, it's really big. Queen. Yeah,
the hot dogs weren't thick enough, and the meatloaf's too thick. Mm-hmm. But it's that tiger sauce that made it.
It's a tiger sauce.
The tiger sauce.
Okay, so the meatloaf, it was so big that I should have just split one with Mike. It would be easier.
Yeah.
It's really big. And the food was really good. Oh, there's only one complaint though. The serving the eggs to order. That was the only thing that made the lines long.
Well, you can't have it all. Everybody bitched about the eggs being thinking they were made from powder mix, and they wasn't.
Uh-huh.
They were just,
no, they're being made to order.
And people bitching about that. So you can't make a damn bear happy. But you got an omelet the way you wanted it, and your eggs cooked the way you wanted it.
Yeah.
So if you had to wait for 2 minutes for an egg to cook, tough.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was one of the best breakfasts we've had.
Actually, yes. All the food was pretty good, yes. It was very, very good.
Considering that Bear Watch used to only have one meal and that was it. Well, then they added in the beach hamburgers and stuff, which were really crappy done.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't crappily done. It was just kind of outsourced to different groups to do, and it was the cheapest burgers they could buy, and they threw them on there and grilled, and hopefully it was okay. But
yeah,
nobody died. But
you know, everything's really good. And the event itself, how many did we have
Registration was over 260. We allowed more to register on Friday and Saturday because we had about 20 people that didn't show up.
Ah, okay.
They didn't show up. So since I didn't show up, I started letting people register. And you want to give me $125? Come on in.
All right.
Plus, with the change around the pool, the way that we did the foam pit and everything got moved, there was more room for people to set up and hang out.
Yeah.
So it wasn't quite as crowded as it was before where we had the deck and the foam pit and all that stuff.
That's right.
That room, that little bit of room moving that back gave people extra room and stuff. So.
And how many condoms did we find this time?
I don't know. You did the condom search.
Yeah, I did them. Found one. Anyway, so it was some fun weekend. It was good. It's but next year, I think, I don't know, we're gonna take a break or something next year, but we'll see. I mean, you know, it's really busy, and we need to have a fresh blood on Bear Watch. So we'll see what happens.
Next year, I'm going to Singapore.
You going to Singapore?
Yeah.
Right. That'd be nice.
To Singapore.
Okay. So, coming up next, it's actually an interview with one of the. It's added to the movie part.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's the interview with... This is our interview with Rick Kopp. Rick Kopp is one of the producers and... creators and... one of the creators and one of the actors of Where the Bears Are. So, they're coming up with a season 2. And we got to interview Rick, and Dave was here the other night when he helped co-host with our interview with Rick. So here it is, Rick Kopp, about Where the Bears Are, Season 2.
Hey everyone, I am Nard.
And I'm Dave.
And joining us today is one of the creators and stars of the hit web comedy series Where the Bears Are, Rick Kopp. Hi, Rick.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Yay.
Good.
It's good to get in contact with you and joining us here on Bear Podcast. So, okay, second season coming up soon, right?
Yes. Yes, we're very excited.
Yes.
I'm tired, sure. But very excited.
Yes, I'm sure. Okay, so I know we talked about this with Joe and Ben last year, the other actors and creators of Where the Bears Are. But I would like to hear your side of it. So how did this all start?
Well, Joe and I have for years, we've been friends for like 11 years. And Ben and Joe had been partners for like, they've been partners like 19 years. But Joe and I have always wanted to do a creative project together. And so I'd written a couple of screenplays, one that was based on a book I'd written. And we were trying to raise the money to do it. And the economic, you know, crash of 2008 kind of killed a lot of independent films. So we just tried to keep finding another way. And we were in my hot tub in Palm Springs about a year and a half ago.
Uh-huh.
And having cocktails, which is always, you know, very good with the creative process.
Of course, inside the hot tub, of course.
You know, I'd had the title in my head for a while, Where the Bears Are. I just thought it was a fun title. And you know, we decided because I love writing mystery novels that maybe I could take a crack at doing a web series, you know, that was told in chapters that would add up to one murder mystery. And it actually, and then what was so funny is we went out to a bar in Palm Springs later that night and we walked in and it was a bar that plays a lot of show tunes. Mm-hmm. And in the bar, they were playing Where the Boys Are.
That was
a sign that this is what we should do.
I see.
Ben doesn't remember. He was too drunk. But Joe and I remember very clearly.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay. So I have a kind of a nasty question. Were there clothes involved in the hot tub scene? Well, not hot tub scene. You know, when you guys were thinking about this, or it was clothing optional?
Oh yeah, I don't remember we were us in clothes. That's the funny thing about Palm Springs. Nobody wears a suit in the hot tub.
Oh, okay, definitely.
And we got criticized because at the end of the series of this first season, we were all in our swimsuits shooting that scene because we had a whole crew around us. Oh. Did make Ian get out and show his bare butt at one point. So for the DVD,
you saw that.
But in real life, nobody wears a swimsuit in Palm Springs.
Yeah. We try not to over here. Also, maybe during the night we don't. But during the day, sometimes you know.
Well, I find in a hot tub. I have a hot tub, and if you wear a swimsuit in the hot tub, all it does is get bubbles in it. So
that's right.
It's better off just not wearing it.
It could be a health hazard. You better remove it.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. So what else is going on about the series right now, second mm-hmm. season? When did you guys start the recording?
Well, we weren't sure that we were going to be able to do a second season because it all depended on how many DVDs and T-shirts and hats we sold because, you know, a lot of people haven't really figured out yet how to make money off web series. And we knew that since we put our own money into the first season that we had to make that back because we just couldn't afford to continue putting our own money into the show. But luckily, we have a lot of fans that donated generously and bought merchandise. So we were able to start shooting in early February, and I had worked on the script with Ben. We outlined it in October and wrote it in December, January, and then we just started pre-production. And it took us about 2 months, you know, February and March, and then it bled into April a little bit. But we were wrapped by April, except for like one little scene, and so it happened very quickly. And you know, we got our editors on it and the post, and it's coming along. We've got about 7 done so far, edited and with music.
Wow. Well, what can you tell us about the season without giving too much away?
Oh, it's great. We pick up. I don't know if everybody saw the Christmas special, but that was
I have.
We did, but that was kind of a bridge to season 2. So everybody knows that a character we thought we said goodbye to is back at the end of that Christmas special.
Oh.
which I guess everybody knows it's Cyril, the killer. We thought we'd put him away, but he's out for some reason.
He's back.
And when we join us, we are at a bear pool party, which is a political fundraiser for a guy I went to college with, Elliot Butler. And by the end of the first episode, something tragic happens to him. As you know, anyone who's seen the trailer can guess what it is. And we kind of get involved in another murder. But in the meantime, Todd is moving in with us. And so we're adjusting to a new roommate.
Oh.
And he and Nelson are still a couple. And then we have a lot of surprises. Detective Winters is back.
Nice.
He's got a really hot partner who, if you've seen the trailer, is the one walking in slow motion out of the pool. And his name is George Unda, and he's wonderful. And he's a good actor, and he's very sexy. So I think he's going to launch a million hits.
No, I hope so, too. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. So was it easier to film the second season at, this time around?
Actually, it was harder because we were trying to be bigger and better than the first season. And the first season, we really didn't know. We didn't have any idea what we were doing. In fact, we were so, in the very, very beginning, we were thought, well, one of us can hold the camera when the other two aren't, you know, when he's not on with the other two. And we realized that was just impossible. We ended up getting a director of photography who is still with the show, and he's fantastic, Jeffrey Wiley. Mm-hmm. But the second season, we wanted to up our game a bit. So we actually, you know, the first season, we didn't pay anybody. We were like stealing locations, you know, like and to shoot
stealing
it, you
locations
know, without getting caught. And this year, you know,
that's
we
funny.
Pretty much paid for the locations. We paid for everything. And so I think, and I hope everybody agrees when they see the show, that it looks bigger and better this year. It just it's richer, and I think everybody's kind of getting comfortable in their roles now, and so we're fingers crossed. There's I think people are going to really enjoy it.
Well, speaking of roles, we noticed that Margaret Cho was part of the cast.
Yes.
And can you tell us a little bit about how that came about?
Well, Ben had done some shows with Margaret years ago, so they were friends. And we tried to get her to play a part last season. In fact, we wanted her to play the part of Susie the Coroner, who works with Harry Potter, you know, the hot guy she makes strip for Joe's character.
Oh, yeah. And
because Margaret was shooting a show, Drop Dead Diva, for Lifetime, the scheduling was just off while we were shooting, so she couldn't do it. But she said she wanted to, and so we wrote a part for her this year. She plays a dominatrix, Mistress Lena. And
I'm sure she's very good at that.
Yes, she is. Actually, she plays two very different personalities in the episode. So it's fun to watch her do these two completely different roles. But I won't give it away. But when she was very, very excited to wear the pink, you know, leather outfit and look like Catwoman.
That's awesome. Okay, so you got Margaret Cho in the cast. So how about the other cast? Tell us more about the other people who's in the show. Who are the new ones and who we won't be seeing? Are we going to see?
Well, you definitely will be seeing Susie is back, the coroner. Mm-hmm. And she's been fired for sexual harassment.
Of course.
So I won't tell you what she's coaching a gay men's rugby team. So, but she crosses paths with us well into the season. Harry Potter's definitely back. He's been promoted. He's now the coroner. Yeah, you know, Pete Cincinnato is like, he's a lighting designer, and he was also like a doorman at the Fault Line Bar in L.A. And he almost had to quit, I think, because he got recognized too much people. For whatever reason, that episode really resonated with people.
I see.
So we had to have him back.
It was one of my favorite episodes, I have to say.
Mm-hmm. There's two that aren't coming back that we want to come back we're probably going to do a Thanksgiving episode for the DVD this year, as we did like the Christmas episode. And we'd love to have Honey Garrett back, who played the caterer from the party, who had her own reality show or was trying. That episode was very popular. And so we want to bring her back. We want to bring back Tuck Watkins from Desperate Housewives, who played Nelson's acting rival.
Oh, okay.
And we definitely have George Ridgemont back, who's that kind of like impish fan of Woods from his cult model.
The stalker, yeah.
Very awesome. Funny role this year. He's really great.
He's really funny. I like him. Okay, so let me see. So how about the dates? Tell us about the dates for this, when it's going to come out, the new season.
The new season starts June 10th, and it'll be the same as last year. It's Mondays and Thursdays will be new episodes. We have 23 this year, although we may have 24 because our climax is bigger than we thought, so we may have to like divide it up into three episodes. But the episodes are going to be longer. We did listen to the fans. I mean, the episodes this year are more 6 to 8 minutes.
It's going to be longer. Okay.
So they're going to be a little longer, and I hope people, you know, we were trying to accommodate the fans because we had a lot of comments that they felt the episodes were too short, but hopefully we haven't screwed with the formula too much by making them longer, but I don't think so. We were showing some to some friends over the weekend, and they seemed to enjoy them, so.
Yeah, that is awesome. And actually, to tell you frankly, I'm helping out on the some of the translation.
I heard that, yes. Nard, before I got on the air with you, yes.
Yes, I try to help with the Filipino part, Filipino
That's
translation.
That's fantastic, thank you. Yes,
and I'm happy to help with that one. I'm excited to see this one, so I get to...
We have a lot of surprises in the story. We have, you know, we have a lot of dramatic, you know, storylines. None of them are dramatic, they're all comedy, but like Todd's ex, Ivan, makes a return and kind of threatens his relationship with Nelson. So we have a lot of the soapy fun aspects of their relationship to play. Mm-hmm. We just have a bunch of new characters. We have we have this really hot black muscle trainer who's Shannon Ward. He's fantastic. Oh, he's just fun to look at. And
nice.
Yeah, we have loaded up the eye candy this year.
We awesome. Understand our friend Coley is in the show too.
Coley is in episode one.
Oh, you see. Oh.
No, I'm sorry, episode two. Episode he's right two. In the beginning of episode two. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Now,
we're
to see
very
that.
Happy to have him come in and do a little bit for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have Chris Lavoie. I don't know if you know the Stephanie Miller show. It's a nationally syndicated radio talk radio show, political show. And her producer and sidekick, Chris Lavoie, is playing a closeted politician this year.
Oh, okay. This is so interesting. Okay, so in the set, when you guys are recording, who is the funniest? I know everybody in your team right now is, you know, all they're funny, but who's the prankster who always makes fun of you guys or something like that?
I would say it was Ben.
Ben would be the one.
Ben likes to do a lot of improv. Uh-huh. And so he'll, even when we're done and the scene is over, he'll just keep going. Come up with the craziest stuff. And you know, some of it, you know, is so crazy that we end up using it in the show. So, it always, you know, whenever he goes off on his tangent, you know, and Joe is mostly just, he's the director. So he's very focused on what it looks like. And what's amazing about him though, is he can set up a shot and he can be directing. And then with an instant, he becomes dumb wood. And I always marvel at watching him because it takes a lot for me to get ready and to concentrate and make sure I'm going to get the lines right and be where I'm supposed to be. And he just does it in this quick change. It's just crazy to watch.
So Joe is the serious one. Okay.
Yeah, he's the one on the set who's the directing and making sure we get everything we need.
Yes, that's awesome. So, okay, so to our listeners and watchers right now of the show, June 10th, Monday and Thursdays, I'm looking forward to watching it myself. So I'm glad it's going to be longer. I thought the length of each episode is just right.
Yeah, well, we did too, but we decided, you know, and if it doesn't, you know, if it doesn't work as well this year, if we're lucky enough to do a third season, we'll definitely go back. But that was my biggest fear. But you know, I actually was watching some episodes with my mother last week when I was. And you know, and I was because we get a lot raunchier this year. I mean, a lot raunchier.
Oh, raunchier is the better. Oh,
but my mother, to my surprise, she watched it all, even when her own son made an anal sex joke. And and she said, "Do you have any more with you?" Like, I felt good. They're not that long because she wants more.
Oh, okay, awesome. That's always good to hear that.
So that was a relief.
It's Rick, mom approve. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Rick, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Are you from California originally?
No, I'm from Maine.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you're from Maine.
I'm from further away, unless
I'm a Yankee, too.
My partner lives in used to live in Maine. He was my partner lives in Maine.
Do you know where?
Oh, in near Augusta.
Actually. Augusta. Okay, I grew up in Bar Harbor, which It was about an hour and a half from Augusta.
You don't say it the way people from Bar Harbor say it, though.
I know. And I have no idea why I escaped the main accent. When I go home and see my friends and have a lot of drinks, it tends to creep back in. But but it wasn't a conscious choice to lose it. I just never really had one. And, you know, my mother has one, my sister, and I write these mystery novels with my sister that are set in Bar Harbor, Maine, you know, about they're kind of like Murder, She Wrote meets Martha Stewart, you know, with recipes.
That's right.
And,
right. Yeah, what
and so
ask
all the characters
that.
In the books have the Maine accent, but for some reason I just don't have one.
Yeah, okay. So, okay, yeah, let's talk about that part of your, this other side of Rick Cup of just being a writer. Yeah, tell us more about your work.
Well, I got my first job. I was only a couple years out of college, and I was lucky enough to get. I was working with a partner, and we got a job on The Golden Girls, and that was my first show.
Yeah, that's
and that
awesome.
Brought us out to California, and it, you know, at the time, I didn't. I mean, I knew it was a top 10 show, and it was exciting. But you think it's always going to be like that, you know?
Oh yeah.
That job was over. Then it was all downhill from there. No, no. I used to do a lot of sitcoms, you know, like Wings and Dream On. And then I kind of moved into animation and wrote some Scooby-Doo movies. And I wrote for Teen Titans. And then my big break came, I did the Brady Bunch movie, the first one.
Okay.
And co-wrote that. And that kind of led to a lot of different things. But about 10 years ago, I had my first book published. And I wrote a gay mystery novel, and it was kind of the precursor to Where the Bears Are, because it's kind of the same tone. They were comedies. It was about a gay former child actor who's now grown up and solving Hollywood murders between acting auditions. You know,
nice,
very unbelievable, just like our show. And I wrote three in that series, and they never did well. They just kind of came out and sat there. But I always credit it as. It was the forefather of Where the Bears Are, because it was the exact kind of thing that we're doing now on this show.
You kind of repurposed it.
And I love writing books, and I love writing comedic mystery novels. So the Bear Show is kind of just a natural for me.
So in the script for Where the Bears Are, you're pretty much the... do you do like 90% of it or 95%?
First season, I wrote the script, although Ben is a master at adding jokes, and a lot of the best jokes came from him. But this year, he and I sat down and outlined the entire season together, and then I went off and wrote the first draft, and then he took it and started punching it up with jokes, more jokes, and so it was kind of much more of a collaborative effort this year. And it was great, because for me, it's more fun to collaborate than to be doing... I spend enough time in a room alone writing books that this show, I really enjoy, you know, the partnership.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, we're looking forward to seeing the next series, the second season of Where the Bears Are. So we're going to find this. The website that people can see it.
Yeah, well, we're the same website, wherethebearsare.tv, is where all the episodes are. You can find all the episodes. Also, you know, definitely like our Facebook page, because that's where we make a lot of our announcements and when there's a new episode available. But the funny thing is YouTube has started to become this life of its own. I mean, our YouTube hits are surpassing the Vimeo. We're on Vimeo through our website. Mm-hmm. And just with no, and we market through Vimeo and we market through Facebook, but people are just on YouTube, just randomly discovering us, and our numbers on that are higher than our than the ones on that we actually promote. So
yeah, that's true.
So it's pretty amazing. And again, I think because of Nard's help and everyone else's, on YouTube is where we have the translations. So I think it opens it up to a more international audience.
Yes, it is. It's really exciting. And whenever I get I've been in contact with Joe, and I could see the people who are helping you guys out. And God, there's so many languages it's going to be out with. That is awesome.
Well, our movie and Christmas special just went up on iTunes and will soon be on Amazon. But I don't know if all the languages are on the iTunes movie, but I hope they are.
Yeah, I hope so, too. All right. So, well, thank you, Rick, for joining us in the show. It's a pleasure having you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's awesome.
Nice talk with you.
Nice talking to you. And everybody out there, June 10th, starting June 10th, Monday to Thursday, you can check out Where the Bears Are. Bearwhisperer.tv, also available in Vimeo and YouTube. So thank you, Rick.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Rick, for joining us. And it's also a pleasure that you were able to share some of your information about your work. And we'll probably put the links on the website, on your IMDb page. And it's good to, you know, talk with them. Oh, they're going to be at the... He said he's going to be at the P-Town. Oh, so cool. We'll, 2 months from now, we'll get to meet the cast.
You'll get to meet the cast.
Yeah. I'll get to meet the cast of Where the Bears Are next 2 months from now, from when we go to P-Town. So that's exciting. And also, thank you, Dave, for helping me out on co-hosting that interview. Okay. All right, let's go on with some movie reviews. Well, I guess we're going to do a movie review of... What did we watch last weekend?
Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yes, we did watch.
Spoiler alert.
We're going to have to spoil it a little bit. Just a little.
So if you haven't seen it yet, stop the show now. Fast forward for about an hour.
Are we going to spoil it or are we just going to review it? Or I don't know. We're just going
to... Well, it's kind of hard to review it without talking about what it's about.
Yeah, that's right.
And when they first started doing this, I suspected it was going to be about Khan. Mm-hmm. And the whole retake on the Wrath of Khan thing and Khan... himself, mm-hmm. was very interesting, and how the ending happened where they flipped everything.
Yep, they flipped everything.
Was very interesting as well.
It's pretty much like a rehash of Wrath of Khan.
Well, it's not. Well,
in a sense,
it's a reimagined version.
Reimagined.
But there are certain key elements that happen in the Wrath of Khan. That they've moved the timeline around that start off here, that in the Star Trek that we old Star Trek that we know, mm-hmm. The time slots have flipped.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it happens because they can do those switches. Do those switches now because of the
and reboot. Still use these characters. Yeah. And I thought it was funny they brought up Mud in the movie.
Did they?
Yeah, that was Mud? That's the ship that they had confiscated. Remember.
Oh.
That was Mud ship they were in that they'd confiscated.
Oh, okay. Wow. I hope, because I remember Mud as being a big bear. Yes. I remember him, oh my God, I remember him as a big bubble bear with a handlebar mustache, right? And I think he appeared twice. I think he was in...
There were two episodes where Mud showed up.
Mud came up, yeah, so, woo. It's got to be a bear, okay.
So they left him out, but they talked about, you know, with the Mud fiasco and... when they confiscated his ship. So that's the ship they used to you get to see the ship on the trailers, on the movie trailers.
That's right. The one that is supposed to fit. It's going to fit. Oh, that ship. Okay, yeah. I can remember now.
So,
okay, so overall, how about the effects? What do you think of the effects?
The effects were incredible. I'm so tired of Star Blaze video thing where... You know, the light, as you're foaming around, as you like panning around, the light's bright and it kind of blinds you on the screen and stuff. So you can see stuff, but you can't see it clearly.
Yeah, lens flare.
They're doing that old lens flare thing. It gets old after a while.
It's a signature of J.J. Abrams.
But it gets old after a while. It's like, I'm about the technical aspects of Star Trek and obviously the details. And, you know, the whole thing about Abrams stuff is I like the original series. Where the engine room is this nice, neat, clean place, and you have, you know, this. And the Abrams version, the whole engine room is this big mess. It looks like a refinery.
It looks like a factory or an oil refinery. Yeah, that's right. Well.
And the warp core, the fact that the way it looks and what happened during that, I thought, oh my God, he's in there kicking the damn engine with his foot. I thought that was funny, but I was like, you know, I like the old warp core.
Yeah. It's simpler. It's kind of canon already. You know, it's the way the in Wrath of Khan they did it. It's really different with this one. Yes, he's kicking the warp core. But see, that's really the warp core. It's misaligned, right? That's the problem. So he was kicking it. And I don't know. I liked it. I like the story. The characters, for me, the way they evolved, they're pretty good. I like the way they...
the way that the relationship between him and Spock developed was interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it, I guess on the old series, it was kind of established that him and Spock were friends. And this series, you're picking up and mixing in with all this other stuff that happened in the old series. But in this series, they're just becoming friends.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And getting to know each other and doing all this stuff and dealing with each other and Spock not having Spock's emotions and non-emotions and the whole thing with him and Uhura dating. And
yeah.
So that was only hinted at in the old series.
In the old series, didn't Captain Kirk made out with Uhura before?
It was the first on-screen television white and black person kiss.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well,
and it was done by Apollo. I think it was the god Apollo that made him kiss. I forgot what the name of the show was, but the whole thing was that the people that used to be the gods here on Earth were actually aliens, mm-hmm. and they had these powers, and they were using them like puppets and made them do stuff for them. So
they made
him and her kiss. So,
oh, okay.
But on the couple of the shows, you see where there's this moment with Uhura and Spock, and he's playing while she's singing, and they're kind of flirting with each other,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of leads you to believe that there's something there.
Yeah, I like that the interaction between Uhura and Spock, because they're really showing that you know Spock is really human still.
Well, he has his human side.
His human side is really asserted itself in this one, and what about the whole plot? The whole plot that their real enemy at this point is really
the Klingons.
Well, no, the Klingons didn't come up. Well, they did, but well, the that's real the whole enemy thing. In this movie, particularly, their enemy is their own.
Yeah. So yeah. Well, yeah, but that's that's something that's been played out in the Next Generation series about Anne and Deep Space Nine, that there was this whole. There was more going on with Starfleet Command than meets the eye. It wasn't this great, oh, we're going to go out and unite these planets and this, that, and the other stuff.
Yeah.
But it's good to see. It's going to be interesting to see what happens if they do another movie, because they're starting the whole 5-year mission.
Yes, that's right.
Which the TV show is based on.
Mm-hmm. So I guess it starts from there.
There. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that.
What's going
to
happen to Kirk now? He's a mutant now.
Well, I don't know. They made a serum to save him.
Yeah, they synthesized the serum to save him.
But they didn't. But unlike the Tribble, they didn't use the actual blood. So it might have just corrected fixed the tissue and not did. So we'll see. It'll be interesting to see if there's some side effects from that.
If he becomes a superior being too. So we'll see what happens. But anyway, so that's pretty much our experience with the Star Trek introduction. Are we going to watch it again? Do you want to watch it in IMAX? I want to watch it again because I want to see more
details. I want to watch it in not 3D because my eyes were so freaking sore after we got out of there.
Really?
Because of the 3D.
You don't like it? You would rather?
Well, I like 3D, but not when I'm tired. Excuse me.
Oh, bless you.
And allergies killing me.
Yeah, me too, actually.
So, but on to some more TV and movie news that we got.
Okay.
All right. Do you remember the Tomorrow People? From Nickelodeon.
Nickelodeon, okay, yeah.
All right. When I was a kid, well, I guess I was a little bit more of a teenager, but when Nickelodeon first came out, they had this series called The Tomorrow People. And it's basically about these group of British kids that were the next step of human evolution. They went from Homo sapiens to Homo spear, kind of like X-Men mutant type thing. But they only had like certain powers. They only could teleport, telekinesis, and telepathy. It's the three things they could do.
Oh.
Some were stronger at doing some of the others than other ones, but the whole thing happened. But there's this whole backstory line, and it was done by, I think, the same guy that did Doctor Who. But I used to watch it, and I loved it.
Russell Davis?
Davis.
Okay.
And it was a kid's show, and then a couple years, then I guess maybe about 5 or 6 years ago, maybe longer ago than that, they tried to rebring it back on a Britain show. Because I think they brought it on Saturday morning TV here in the U.S., and it didn't work out. It was just too weird. So, but, here's a little more detail. The Tomorrow People is a British children's science fiction television series devised by Roger Price, produced by
Thames.
Tim's Tele... No, it's Tim. The Tim's?
Tim's?
It's the Thames.
Thames, okay.
Thames Television for the Ivy Network. The series first ran between 1973 and 1979. It was a very long series. And I think I've actually seen all of the episodes.
Wow, that long?
So, yeah. The series was reimagined in 1992, Roger Price acting as executive producer. A third incarnation ran between 2001 and 2007, returned to the original concept and characters, but this time produced as a series of audio plays for Big Finish Productions. A second TV reboot for the United States, the CW network has been scheduled for the 2013-2014 season. And I used to watch this on Nickelodeon, so this is how I know about this. But the other night, I was laying there, and I was watching The Arrow, Vampire Diaries, and then they did this whole thing of the Tomorrow People, and I was like, what the F? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God. So I've been researching it. And here's the CW take on it. The story of several young people from around the world who represent the next stage in human evolution, possessing special powers, including the ability to teleport and communicate with each other telepathically. Together they work to defeat the forces of evil.
Okay.
And it's going to be on the CW in the fall. Now, what's even better than that, one of the lead characters, do you watch Green Arrow? Or Arrow?
Arrow, yeah.
Okay, you know the hot guy that plays the Arrow?
Yeah.
His cousin is the one that's going to be one of the actors on this show.
Wow, and there's in the family.
So,
I guess he's hot too, huh? Is it like a Muslim?
Well, he looks like it. He looks very much got that nice, very body like the other cousin. So, but it looks like it, but it's going to be interesting to see how it goes and how it takes off here. But after watching all those as a kid, and I wish I could sing the other reincarnations of it because I was... I think I was out of school by then when that happened, and they didn't show it that much here. Mm-hmm. Or Nickelodeon didn't pick it up, so but it'd be interesting to see. But anyway,
okay.
On to our other movie story.
All right, I'll take this one because this is close to my heart because it's X-Men. So Jennifer Lawrence returns as Mystique in X-Men Days of Future Past, and she's got a costume photo to prove it. So director Bryan Singer is bringing new meaning to the phrase behind the scenes, using social media to pique fan interest to for his next film in the comic book franchise. Due in theaters on July 18th, 2014. Oh, next year. He's already showcased Halle Berry as weather-manipulating mutant Storm and shared teaser photos and videos of Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen on the set. But now he seems to be targeting the new generation of fanboys and fangirls by bringing Lawrence into the mix.
You know who Jennifer Lawrence is, right?
Jennifer Lawrence, she's very, very familiar.
She played Mystique, but she's also just won an Oscar.
What Oscar?
For Best Female Actress this year.
What movie? Hunger Games. What?
No, but she is the actress in the Hunger
Games.
Hunger Games actress, yeah. But it's the one where, crap. You had to ask me now. I forgot what the movie
is. I forgot.
But it's got Bradley Cooper in it.
Oh, Silver Linings. Silver Linings Playbook.
Yes, that's what it was.
I just watched that last week. Yeah, that's right. That's her. Yeah,
I remember now. So that's going to be interesting. So I got to go back and find all these pictures and stuff they're releasing. And if I remember, Days of Future Past is where somebody from the future comes back, and then that future...
is when people are being hunted.
Hunted the mutants by the Sentinels.
By Sentinels, yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see how that happens.
What robots, happens. I guess. Robots. Okay, so, we're looking forward to that for next year, I guess. All right, so before we go on a break, we're going to talk about one bear run that's coming up this week, actually. It's coming week. It's a bear run that I've been to twice before, and it always goes after Bear Watch. Which one is it? It's Bear Pride. Bear Pride in Chicago is May 24th to 27th. The website is bearpride.org. For more information, you can go there. It's going to be exciting because, you know, it's... it's this weekend. It's also IML. Ray, I've always wanted you to go to IML one of these days.
One day I'll go to IML.
One day you will. Okay. So yeah, Bear Pride always coincides with IML, International Men of Leather. So it's going to be this weekend. I wish I could go. I could see Devin and Jay and the others. So that would be good to hang out with.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. All right, that's a break. Hold on. Hey.
Okay. Hey.
All right. Now on with the gay, the geek, and the bizarre. Okay. Do I take this?
Yeah.
Okay.
The WH stands for White House.
White House, WH? Okay. So here's the gay. White House suggests delayed vote on gay immigration proposal, sources say. Why? I don't understand. So two people familiar with the Senate immigration deliberations say that the White House has suggested to Vermont Senator Patrick Leahy that it would be best to put off a controversy over gay marriage until a bill goes before the full Senate. So President Barack Obama backs the proposal to give equal treatments to gays and lesbians, but is unlikely to veto a broad immigration bill that does not include the provision. So Leahy, the Democratic chair of the Judiciary Committee, has not yet said whether he will seek a vote on the provision in committee. He could raise the issue again if the bill goes before the full Senate. So the people familiar with the deliberations were not authorized to discuss the matter publicly and insisted on anonymity. The White House had no comment. So all eight authors of the immigration bill have pledged to maintain the essential outlines of the legislation. A vote to add the gay rights provision could lead to approval on the party line vote in committee, but lead to the collapse of Republican support on the Senate floor and the bill's demise. In addition, the Supreme Court is expected to issue a ruling by early July that could render the issue largely moot. So what can you say about this, Ray? It's going to be delayed for our...
Well, I don't think they're gonna push it till that, because they're waiting to see whether the Supreme Court come back and says it's unconstitutional to ban gays from being married. And the Supreme Court says that, then they can't pass the immigration bill that does not include equal protection.
So right now, what's happening is really choosing your battles. This is actually choosing your battles. Right now, let's table this because we have a bigger fish to fry.
Yeah. I mean, we know we need to do immigration reform. And I totally admit that the gay part should be in there, because I know a lot of relationships that people live in different countries, like you and Mike. We live here in Texas. He lives over there in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
To get the passes to come back and forth, such a pain in the butt for y'all.
Yep. So it's
real. No, I'm just kidding. It's real people that you know, their partners live outside the country, and they have to fly in for a couple months and then leave back and forth madness and stuff. So
And for straight couples, just to do that, they just get a fiancé visa, they move over.
It's a little bit more difficult than that anymore, but that's basically...
It used to be. My sister was like that.
Yeah.
It was pretty much easy. It was easier to do a fiancé visa than to marry someone and then bring it. Anyway, the point is, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it, they're delaying it. Because, like I said, choose your battles. Right now, we're concentrating on gay marriage, and they should just really put that on the table and
see what the Supreme Court says.
So you can't have a divided attention on this one. So I guess it's really just a good idea just to table it for a while.
Yeah. Okay. But the numbers that they're showing, that I think they right now, it's 80,000 people that can come into the country a year for jobs.
Mm-hmm.
They can get visas to come into the country for jobs. It ups that to like 120,000 after a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So depending, but there's a whole bunch of stipulation in it. So it's gonna go back and forth on what people can do and can't do. So it'll be a big change to handle all that.
Okay.
Now on to the geek.
This is what you like.
Right along with Star Trek Into Darkness coming out this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Warp speed, Scotty. Star Trek's faster than light drive may actually work. According to Einstein's theory, an object with mass cannot go as fast or faster than the speed of light. The original Star Trek series ignored this universal speed limit in favor of a ship that could zip around the galaxy in a matter of days instead of decades. They tried to explain the ship's faster-than-light capabilities by powering the warp engine with a matter-antimatter engine. Antimatter was a popular field of study in the 1960s when creator Gene Roddenberry was first writing the series. When matter and antimatter collide, their mass is converted into kinetic energy, in keeping with Einstein's mass-energy equivalence formula E equals mc squared. Matter-antimatter collision is a potentially powerful source of energy and fuel, but even that wouldn't be enough to propel a ship to faster-than-light speeds. Decades after the original Star Trek show has gone off the air, pioneering physicist and avowed Trek fan Miguel Acubiri argued that maybe a warp drive is possible. After all, it just wouldn't work quite the way Star Trek thought it did. The Acubiri warp drive is still theoretical for now. The truth is that the best ideas sound crazy at first, and then there comes a time when we can't imagine a world without them. That's a statement from the 100-Year Starship Organization, a think tank devoted to making the Earth what Star Trek would call a warp-capable civilization within a century. The first step toward a functional warp drive is to prove that a warp bubble is even possible, and that it can be artificially created. That's exactly what physicists Harold Sunny White and a team of researchers at NASA's Johnson Space Center, Texas, are doing right now.
So, essentially...
So, we're developing warp drive down here at Johnson Space Center.
Here in Texas.
Here in Texas.
Wow. We have warp capability here in Texas. But, you know, well, the theory in this one, instead of an object or a vessel, for, yeah. in our case, in Star Trek, instead of moving really fast, because that's what faster than light is about, instead of that, you rather fold space. You warp the space. And in theory, I guess they're still in theory stage. So.
Well, in theory, if I remember from all my Star Trek training manuals and technical manuals,
your warp speed in technologies,
warp speed actually creates like a subspace field around the ship, which they call the warp bubble, and makes it move faster than light because it kind of drops it out of the theoretical space plane that we live that we in, and puts it in another one that is faster.
It's like a wormhole.
Wormhole kind of thing.
Wormhole
situation. That's kind of what it works. Yeah. Supposedly. Now, Battlestar Galactica has something very similar where it jumps.
It jump, yeah.
And that's the two prevalent theories about faster than light travel. You'll jump from point A to point B, which is not going from point A to point B, but
you're really
bringing
just
point A to point B together and opening a door and pushing it through.
Yeah.
Basically.
That's how Battlestar Galactica does it. And in theory now, in here in real life, here in Texas, they're trying to do that. That'd be great.
Well, and the warp thing that he's working on, in theory, it folds space until it space is actually bigger behind the ship than it is in front of the ship, and it's propelling it along at very fast speeds. So
it's still moving fast then?
Fast, yeah.
I thought it's really still folding.
Well, it's kind of doing that, space. But if you look at the models they put on there, it looks like it's more like it's taking space and making it smaller in front and more in the back so that because there's more pressure at the back, it's pushing it through.
Making the back small so you could do that, go forward.
Forward, yeah.
Okay.
So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's
so
exciting.
It's very interesting to see what will happen. And I hope to God I live to see regular space travel.
Yeah. Space tourism, at least.
Mm-hmm. You know, which is coming. I mean, galaxy.
Yeah, we have space tourists already.
Emerging galaxies, you know. I just don't have that couple hundred thousand dollars to pay for that little 14-minute space flight.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay, so.
And even the Russians have upped their charge for putting somebody in a capsule and flying them into outer space.
Okay, so if you're going through that warp bubble and you're actually folding space behind you into making it small so you could be propelled forward, how are you going to compensate for the gravimetric shear?
I don't know.
Sorry, we're getting
internal dampening systems.
Oh yeah, or use the deflector array. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh my god. We're just talking Star Trek now. Sorry, guys. Okay, so let's move on to the bizarre, which is actually it's something that affects many of us because it involves Tumblr. And you may have been listening
to... Well, it affects porn people.
Porn people, yeah, definitely. So Tumblr users urged new owner Yahoo to keep the site weird. Yeah, of course, yes. Because Yahoo just bought Tumblr. Okay, so Yahoo's purchase of the blogging site Tumblr sent shockwaves through the Tumblrverse. Tumblrverse. Is that actually a word now? Yeah. So when word got out about the acquisition, Tumblr users reacted in their distinctive way. Homemade, quirky, sharp. One site showed an animated GIF of Marissa Mayer, Yahoo's CEO, wearing a diabolical smile. diabolical smile as a $20 bills rained down over her. So another Tumblr shows a cartoon Yahoo Brown shirt drinking from a jug of Tumblr tears. So Yahoo bought Flickr and Delicious in 2005. And Flickr and Delicious is a bookmarking site, and Flickr is a big photograph and photo site and everything. It's an archiving site, which I use. We use. You use Flickr too, right? Right. So yeah. So Yahoo bought both Flickr and Delicious in 2005 and managed to alienate existing users. Yahoo's challenge now is to keep the trust of the people who've created more than 100 million blogs through Tumblr. The Tumblr community, since the acquisition became official, the blogs have calmed down somewhat. Laura Olin says it helps that Yahoo CEO Mayer made the announcement in Tumblr-es, how do you say it? So you know, like the words, we won't screw it up. So I think they're doing a really good job of acknowledging the anxiety that Tumblr users have. So now Olin says, just don't screw it up. Yes, because
RuPaul says,
Don't fuck it up, Mayer. So, okay, how is this going to affect us? Tumblr doesn't have ads. It's really just a picture site. It's okay. A blogging site. I don't know if it has ads. I don't think it does. So Yahoo lives on ads, and it buys Tumblr. So do you think it's going to have ads now?
Probably
in the future. So, of course, that's what the issue was saying. That's why Tumblr users are urging.
Had Tumblr pay for itself?
I really don't know. It has its own people who invest on it, I guess.
Well, they got to get some return for them.
I think they have premium accounts. I can't remember if they do, but yeah, it's a big blogging site. I must admit, I look at some pictures on Tumblr, right? Don't you? You haven't seen even.
I don't think I've ever been on Tumblr.
You've never been on Tumblr, right? I mean, I'm sure you have seen links from. Anyway, there's a lot of bear porn. Related porn on Tumblr. And stuff like that, and some are videos, some are movies, some are links, and some are just pictures. And
Devin posts porn of him on
Tumblr? Not porn.
Oh damn, Devin.
Maybe he does. It's I don't know. Links. No, he's on Devorama at Tumblr.com. So he posts bear pictures there and shares. It's where you become social and share your pictures and everything. Now Yahoo in buying it. I don't know if they're going to, because the only thing that they can do right now, I think this is what they're doing. The reason why they bought Tumblr is to use the pictures there on the Yahoo site. So it's not.
But if it's all porn, I don't think they want to be using those on the Yahoo.
It's not all porn.
Just what most of the gays use it for.
Yes, probably okay. Yes. So yeah, there's a big possibility that the pictures that you post on Tumblr, maybe they'll change the. EULA, the end user license, and the disclaimers there that they reserve the right to use any picture that you upload in Tumblr to be used in Yahoo. So if you're in Yahoo, you're seeing some ads, it may be using your pictures on Tumblr, maybe.
We'll see.
That's a theory. That's what I'm guessing. That could happen. So what do you guys think? Will Yahoo screw up your Tumblr experience? Your porn Tumblr experience. Okay, so let's move on to some audience comments. Okay, one. Okay, go ahead.
It's from YouTube, from Dracon Red. I love those guys. Ray, GD Hot. Well, have you seen my boyfriend's pic? He's pretty GD Hot himself.
He's got that, man.
From DJ.
Deej.
Deej. Is that how you say it? I thought it was DJ.
I think it's Deej. Hey, Deej.
Hey, okay. Deej. Is it Deej? Okay. Because I'd be like, hey, I'm DJ. Anyway, hey, Nard. Can you tilt the camera down a hair? There's some dead space above the TV, and I need to be able to see Dave and Ray's bare feet. They are cut off at the angle you have the camera right now. Oh, yeah, and tell them don't wear shoes and socks anymore. Just saying. Thanks, God, DJ.
So show him your feet. Can you lift it?
Well, I got socks on.
He's got socks on this
time. I got all my clothes are dirty from Bear Watch, so I got to go and wash clothes and wear shorts again.
That's right.
So.
Yeah. So, okay. So let's do some shout-outs. Shout-outs to the Bear Watch committee. And they really did a great job. Lots of People who volunteered in the food line, of course. People volunteered the food line. And also lifting things and unloading the truck and everything. So that'd be good. That's good. So thank you, Bearers Committee.
Yep. And Jared Allen from TrueFMOnline.com for coming down and spending some time with us and showing us something about some. It's a Texas-based radio, online radio station. So, and he plays. They play a lot of bear artists on there. So, hopefully, you'll be hearing more about them soon.
Okay.
And we got some birthdays this week too.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a happy birthday shout out to Dan Perry in Dallas, and Carl and Jose in Houston, and belated birthdays, of course, to Marvin, Ismail, and Mark, since I wasn't on the show last week. So. Happy belated birthday and happy birthday to all of you guys. You got any birthday shout-outs?
I can't remember right now. There is one. Remember before we started the show? There is one I couldn't remember. But you may have covered it already. So I think it is Carl. It's Carl's birthday. Yeah, very soon. Okay, one quick mention. I was I was in contact with the Jim Gay Bear. It's his Twitter account. So I've been,
is he a gay bear?
I think he's a gay bear, okay. Yeah. We've been. His name is Simon. He's a writer, and he actually he's also a writer, just like Jay Nesson Vance the other week. Yeah,
yeah. And so, his book's out now. So if y'all hadn't read, got a chance to check it out, go check it out. Mm-hmm. You can buy the paperback on Amazon or download the I want to say EDI, but it's not the electronic version.
The Amazon one.
Amazon version. Yeah.
Okay. So Jim Gay Bear, yeah, he sent me some links, and I have yet to read the book, actually. So thanks. His name is Simon Okora, actually. Simon Okora. So we've been messaging each other. We'll probably maybe have him in the show in the future to talk about his book. Okay, so I guess that's it. Thank you, everyone, for watching and listening. If you contact us, when you contact us, send your emails to show@bearpodcast.com.
Or you can give us a call and leave us a message on the voicemail at 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR. Give us a call and we'll play your voice message on the show.
Yes, and subscribe via iTunes, Vimeo, and YouTube. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And also, go to the official website where you'll see all the links of everything that we talked about in the show at bearpodcast.com. And that's it. It's going to be a week of
recovery
from Bear Watch. We're going to talk about Bear Watch probably in the future, maybe. Yeah. The future organizer will be in the show. Maybe we'll see. Okay, so thank you everyone for watching or listening. We'll catch you guys on the next episode of Bear Podcast. And wolves and many hugs.
Wolf, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Wolf, what a bear. Wolf, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Wolf, what a bear. Wolf, what a bear.
My name's Ramona. Looking for a real man. For a real woman.
You're not wearing your handlebar.
That takes time. I mean, I was too tired.
You're too tired to put the handlebar?
Too tired to get to the handlebars.
Thank you, Bear Radio listeners, for joining us in episode 469, where we talked about shit.